22. The book of Numbers, chapter 22, and verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. I don't know how much of this story you've read or remember. The king of the Moabites has attempted to hire Balaam, a prophet, to curse the people of God. So Balaam, upon hearing this request, asked the Lord what he has to say about this. In verse 12, And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. That's all you need to know. They are blessed. It's that simple. Nevertheless, they send men again to ask Balaam again, men of greater honor, and Balaam goes back and asks the Lord again. In verse 20, God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto you, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab, and God's anger was kindled because he went. We read this morning, you seek the Lord with an idol in your heart, he will answer you according to that idol. It appears God gave permission, but no, he didn't. When he went to the Lord and asked, the Lord said no. What did he go back for again? And all you need to know about Balaam, you can find in 2 Peter chapter 2 and in the book of Jude, held as an example of an apostate. Not to be like him. Nevertheless, even as Peter tells us, the ass that he was upon forbade the madness of the prophet. This man's crazy. Here he is with an angel of the Lord with his sword drawn. Excuse me, not an angel, the angel of the Lord with his sword drawn. The ass knows enough to stop. Three times. The Lord opens the donkey's mouth, proceeds to use the voice of a man to speak to him. And this man's so crazy, he carries on a conversation like this happens every day. It doesn't even faze him. Nevertheless, he goes. In the 23rd chapter and verse 7, after he's been with Balak, and here he is, he's about to attempt to curse the people of God. It says in verse 5, But the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. And in verse 7, here it is. He took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak, who's every bit as crazy as he is, says unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I told you, I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have blessed them altogether. Of course, you'd understand, it wasn't Balaam blessing them, it was the Lord blessing them. So Balak gets the bright idea, well, let's go to another place. Surely it'll go better there. In verse 18, we see his second attempt. The Lord gives him word again, and he says, And he took up his parable and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen the perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. There's a lion there. That lion of the tribe of Judah, you hear his roar and his shout, watching over his people. Imagine that. We live in a world that's constantly out against us, trying to curse us. That's that raging you hear in the second psalm. People rage against God, rage against his people, but it is nothing more than vain imagination. They imagine something that can never come to pass. Imagine that. He does not behold iniquity in Jacob. You know, it is impossible for God to charge sin against his people. It's already paid for. Cannot be charged against you. God has blessed us, and you cannot be cursed. Cannot be cursed. Makes no difference how much they pay, how much they put into it. Cannot be cursed. It doesn't even matter what it appears like in this world. How much of an outcast you might be. How rejected you might be. How hated you might be. You might feel cursed, but you cannot be cursed. You're blessed. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be of Jacob and of Israel. What hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, Neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Now he wants out of this. Forget cursing them. Just don't bless them anymore. But that won't work either. Every man, before God, is either going to be cursed or blessed. There's no other state. It's heaven or hell. There is no neutral ground. Well, that's strike two. So Balak gets the bright idea, let's go to another place. Maybe the place will make a difference. And we see it in the 24th chapter in verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, He hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel! As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of line aloes which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be many, shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones, and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. That's the way it is. Like he said, nothing can reverse this. Nothing can change this. We read a portion of this morning. From Isaiah chapter 54, it says, Behold, they shall surely gather together. And he means against you. But the Lord says, But not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. If you would, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. The heathen always raging about a vain thing, but we have been born unto a living hope. Think about that. A sure hope. It's steadfast. It has a foundation to it. It's eternal. It has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. And do you know what that inheritance is? I don't completely know either. But it's big. I do know this. He tells us it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Not a portion of it. The whole thing. The whole kingdom. We are joint heirs with Christ. You know what that means? You get everything he gets. The book of Revelation, he tells us he'll grant to us, to those who overcome, to sit with him in his throne. Think of that. The angels don't get that. To sit with him in his throne. He tells us in Ephesians that already he has seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Already. It may not appear that way, but think about it. We're sitting here today, not with a reprobate mind, but a mind that can freely and fully think upon the holy things of the Holy One. You know how few people get to do that? Sitting here today with joy because of God's blessing instead of his curse. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away and reserved in heaven for you. You know what a reservation is? It's got your name on it. It's already stamped, waiting for you. And so many times in this present world, it seems like you're under a curse, like you're the outcast. You're the one who's rejected. You're the one who's despised. Everything seems against you sometimes, like you got this dark cloud hanging over your head. But that ain't so. This inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Think of that. Every bit of His joy and His blessing, every good thing, every incorruptible thing, every undefiled thing, everything that's good and pure and eternal is what's hanging over your head, just waiting to be burst out upon you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Blessed, not cursed. Can't be cursed. Kept by His very power. Isn't that amazing? Reserved for you. Prepared from the foundation of the world. Reserved for you. Personally. One of those things He says He gives to those who overcome is that white stone with a name on it that nobody knows but Him and the one who gave it to Him. Think of that. By name. Reserved by name. Got your name on it. Place at His table sitting for you. Walking under His blessing every day. Just waiting. Think of that. The joy. You can somewhat see this with Stephen when he's being stoned. And he's looking up, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, looking up as he's being stoned. A painful death. Sees Christ standing at the right side of the Father with the heavens open, welcoming him into heaven. Not cursed. They think they're cursing him with stones. Not cursed. Blessed. Blessed. Isn't that amazing? What a great God we serve. How wondrous. Amen. What would you like to say?